Welcome to everybody who's here live or live stream. Lots of people watching out there. It's great to have all of you watching and worshiping with us and listening to the word. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Romans 13, if you grabbed one of these Bibles, it's page 946, or all the verses are going to be all over the screens up here. Once again, thanks to Rob and Mark, but that's all there. So page 946, and if you need a Bible, be our guest, take it. It's our gift to you. You can have it, okay? The title, we're in Romans 13, 8 to 14 today, finishing up Romans 13, and the title is God's Wake Up Call. God's Wake Up Call, and the timing is just perfect, isn't it? Just trying to think, like, what I couldn't have planned this any better if I had called Iran myself and said, please shoot some missiles, because this is perfect timing for this sermon. In fact, after that all started happening, Laurel and I always watch something at night often. We just finished Moses, the Charlton Heston, the classic Moses, but we needed to start something new. So I said, all these rockets, let's watch Left Behind. If you haven't watched The Left Behind, it's a good time to watch it. But we're watching the news, and then we switched over to Left Behind, and right at the beginning, all those planes are attacking Israel. I'm like, crazy. It was like deja vu all over again. It was just crazy. It's been an interesting couple of weeks, hasn't it? Israel, the earthquake, the eclipse, and lots of people, even people outside the church, are like, what's going on? They can all sense something is happening. And thankfully, we have The View and Sonny Hostin to make sense of it all. It's true. This week, she blamed the eclipse and the earthquake and the cicadas. The cicadas. No. On climate change. And I hope that Sonny, who's in the dark, is watching. Because, well, first of all, I want Sonny to know something very important. They're not cicadas. They're cicadas, right? Take it from a farm boy. I got my bug box here. Here's a little, the shell of the cicadas. And then I have lots of, where'd it go? Oh, I fell down here. I have lots of cicadas in the bottom of here. They die all the time. You can find them all the time. Here's one. If anybody wants to play with it later, it's breaking up. We're going to get a few trillion more soon here. So we'll be able to get lots more of them. Laurel's great. She's like, there's a cicada. Her eyes are unbelievable. But this was so crazy what Sonny, who's in the dark, was saying, that even Whoopi gave her a pushback. Even she pushed back. It's got to be pretty crazy to get a pushback from Whoopi, right? All right? So, and these are the women who are molding the worldview of millions of women all over America. Scary, isn't it? Scary. There's a big thing that women are leaving the church. It's always been the men that didn't really go to church. Now, so women are leaving the church in droves. Well, they're probably watching The View and getting their worldview clouded. So this is Sonny also said that her crazy makeup artist, who she loves her, but she's crazy, you know, she insinuated that. She said it's all because Jesus is coming back soon. That's why earthquakes and things like that are happening. I mean, how crazy is that when everybody knows it? It's because of climate change, right? you can't make this stuff up. I used to always wonder when I'd read the book of Revelation and God starts to really heat up, send, you know, there's these judgments and the water's turning to blood and, you know, the green, all the trees are burning up and all this stuff is happening. And I used to think, why? How can these people not connect the dots? Why aren't they stopping and thinking, wait, what is God trying to tell us? You know, I used to always wonder, what could they be thinking? And now I know. They're going to blame climate change as we go through the book of Revelation. And finally, they do get it. Finally, they do gnash their teeth and say, till the rocks fall on us and hide us from the face of the Lamb. You know, they are going to get it finally. But for a long time through Revelation, as we go through this time, as hopefully we're not going through it. Hopefully it's an early rapture, right? But they're going to blame climate change. Is going to be blamed for everything that happens, right? It's already happening. Something is coming. Someone is coming, right? We know that. And Romans 13 tells us to wake up and how to get ready for what's going to happen. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the worship. We thank you for your word and how nothing's catching us off guard, because we know that you're in control, that you're playing chess while the rest of the world leaders are playing checkers. And Lord, we just know that you're in control. You have the power. You have a purpose. We're just waiting to see what it is. That's our job, is to look at your word, look at world events, and just say, what are you doing, Lord? And we just trust you through it, because you have overcome, as we just sang about. Father, we just thank you for that. I pray if anybody here has never put their faith in Jesus, given their life to him, that today would be that day. Someone out there watching, that today would be that day. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's read the passage. I'm going to use the screen over here. Verse 8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. That's going to make sure you get the right version here. Do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay, here we go. And I came up with 4 points, and they all have up in them. I had to work a little hard at this, but here we go. The first one is verse 8, is pay up. Pay up. In verse 8, let no debt remain outstanding. Let no debt remain outstanding. Get out of debt. Pay up. Get out of debt. The USA is in massive debt, right? I actually looked it up. I couldn't even keep up with it. They had this, like, spinning thing going, and it just kept changing and changing, and my eyes started to roll back in my head. You know, I was like, you know, I think it's $34 trillion right now, maybe 35 by this morning, I don't know. But that's $100,000 for every man, woman, and child in the United States. That's how much we all owe if we want to help our country get out of debt. So I want to say this to the people sneaking over the border. The joke's on you. You think you're going to come to a better life. You owe $100,000 now, right? You know, why is anybody sneaking to the U.S.? I don't know. We're going to be sneaking out pretty soon, I think, as things are going crazy. And individuals are also accumulating record debt. Credit card alone is up to $17 trillion. $17 trillion. You put that together. These are numbers I can't even imagine, right? And that's in addition to the house mortgages and the car debt and the equity loans and the student loans. Oh, wait, no, those are all gone now, aren't they? They should all be erased just in time for the election, all right? But the joke's on everybody, because the Supreme Court is already ruled against it. It's just going to be overturned. We're still going to have to pay these things. But what are we teaching young adults? You don't have to pay your debts. And adults already know that. Look at bankruptcy. It's an unbelievable record of bankruptcy. And I'm not talking about a bankruptcy when we just need time to pay off something, and that gives us time to do that. That's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we have to do that to just give our time, the creditors, to give us time to pay off the debt. But so many people don't use it that way. They just use it to get out of jail card, right? And over and over and over again. That's the American way now, right? So the Apostle Paul says, pay up. Pay up. And we're going to see all is connected to the end times, to the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's going to get crazy. It's even crazier than it is. Hard times are coming, and we need to prepare. And the last thing we need with these times coming, the last thing we need to carry into this time is debt. We need to be prepared. We talk about that all the time. If you need help getting out of the hole, you need help figuring out how to do a budget, I can connect you with mentors. We have lots of spiritual, financial mentors here. There's also Larry Burkett and all of his books and resources. But pay up. We got to get out, okay? The second thing, They get harder each time. The second one is verses 8 to 10. And verses 8 to 10 says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commands there are may be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Okay, so the only one I had to force. It's to love, but I said hug up for this one. All right, it's the best I could do. I tried. All right, you come up with a better one, let me know, I'll fix it for next time. But we are a hugging church, so it's perfect, right? We're a hugging church, all right? The golden rule, though, let's talk about the golden rule. Do unto others as you want them to do to you, all right? That's the essence of what this is talking about. As I was a kid, I had that little mixed up. Somehow I heard it wrong in Sunday school, and I thought it was, do to others what they do to you. And I went around doing that. I remember I was younger, and I remember my parents coming to me and, what are you doing? I'm following the Bible. It says, do unto others what they do to you. Well, was I in for a shock when they explained what it really said? I like my version much better. Don't you guys like my version much better? All right. I'll see about getting that changed. But anyway, but this is the fulfillment of the law, right? It comes from Mark 12, the words of Jesus, verse 28, where it says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important one? The most important one, answered Jesus, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. The golden rule. It's not really that complicated, is it? Christianity, life, I mean, it's hard, but it's not that complicated. Love God and love others. Just comes down to that. Love God and love others. That's a whole point of the Bible, love God and love others. This is vital for Christians, especially to hug up, to love up, especially as we approach the end times, which is the context of this passage here in Romans 13. We're going to talk about that as we get a little further along. And that's the context, in that we learn to love one another is vital. 2 Timothy tells us what life will be like in the end times, which sounds a lot like where we're living right now as we read this, right? And 2 Timothy 3, talking about what it's going to be like, verse 1 says, but mark this, really important, this will be on the test, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Latch on to that one. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Latch onto that one. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Wow. We're going to love pleasure. It says people are going to love pleasure and selves. Instead of loving God, they're going to love pleasure. Instead of loving others, they're going to love themselves. You see the boomerang on this one? Instead of loving God and others, they're going to love pleasure and themselves. That's really hard to imagine, isn't it? Hard to imagine that, those verses coming. I'm kidding. We're living it already, right? It's here. This is how crazy it's going to get and is getting. That's why we're told next in verse 11 to wake up. That was a lot easier, wasn't it? Wake up. Verse 11. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when you first believe. We're called to wake up. The Holy Spirit gives us a wake-up call. He gives us an alarm clock here. We all hate alarm clocks, don't we? We hate them. We hate to wake up to that alarm clock. We just want to hit the pause button, right? But there's no pausing what is happening in the USA today, what is happening in the world, and what is going to happen. There's no pausing it. Look how it is all speeding up. That's what we keep talking about, how it's speeding up. The events are accelerating. We see the prophetic happening so quickly. The prophetic alarm clock cannot be paused. Because the day is almost here. We're going to see that in verse 12. We already read it. But verse 12, next verse, we're going to see the day is almost here. What day? The second coming. The second coming, the day of the Lord, is almost here. And it says our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. That was 2,000 years ago. Think about how near it is now. And we're seeing it, right? We're seeing the prophetic convulsions here. And a day to the Lord, 1,000 years is like a day. It's a couple days to God. But it's close. It's close. Every day, every prophetic event, every thing that happens in Israel is bringing us that much closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ, to his return. You see, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. We are saved, our salvation saved. We're saved from something. We are saved when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved. When the moment you say, God, I repent of my sin, I don't want that old life anymore. I want to give my life to Jesus. I put my faith in him, my trust in his death on that cross for me. I put my faith in his resurrection from the dead to give me a new life. I put my faith and trust. I give my life to Jesus Christ. The moment you do that, you are saved. You have salvation. We're saved from sin and death. That's what we're saved from at that moment. But we are also saved here. What we see here, the salvation he's talking here is a different one. We're going to be saved when Jesus comes again. We're saved because of his first coming by putting our faith in him, but we're going to be saved when he comes again. And this time we're going to be saved from the world and the devil. We're going to be saved from them. And God's alarm clock is going off, but so many Christians and so many churches are in a deep sleep, a deep sleep. Deep, deep sleep. You ever been in a really deep sleep? That's the church in America today. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I remember when I was first a youth pastor, I took my youth group down to Florida. Took them to Florida, got on the bus, went all over the place, saw all the stuff. And the senior pastor wanted to come along because he knew how much fun we were going to have. You know, we were back when you could go to Disney without, you know, sacrificing to Moloch. But anyway, we went to all these fun things, but we stayed in this one building. I think a church owned it. It was like a youth center or something. And it had one big room for the guys and one big room for the girls. And so I remember first getting there and going to sleep. And the senior pastor was like, here, Chuck, sleep next to me. Stay right here. So, you know, we can, if we got to deal with any issues or anything goes on, we can talk about it. Okay. So I sat next to him. This guy snored like a seal in labor. It was bad. It was bad. I could not sleep, you know? And the next day, I'm so tired and trying to have fun in Florida with all the 150, 7,500 kids. I can't remember how many there were. It was a bunch. And so the next day he goes, okay, here we are. No, you snore. I'm going to move over here. And I moved over a ways. Still could hear him. I could not sleep. This time it was a walrus, you know, in labor. I could not sleep. The next day, I moved even further. Next night, I'm exhausted by now, right? I've got to be excited for all the kids, but I'm exhausted even further. He still kept me awake for the snoring. And finally, the next night, I moved all the way over to the wall. In fact, it was right near the door, right at the door where the girls were on the other side. And so I was like at the door where the door was. I was right there, and I went to sleep, and I was so tired. I just slept. I went into a coma. It was crazy. I slept like a rock. The next day I wake up, and the pastor, I see him, and I go, hey, how's it going? He goes, don't even talk to me. He's mad at me. I'm like, what's the problem? He goes, he's just so mad at me. I'm like, why? He goes, thanks for all the help last night. I go, what do you mean the help last night? What are you talking about? What? He goes, oh, don't tell me you didn't hear it. And he went through the list. The train, there was a train track about 50 yards right from our building. We could see the trains going by. Well, the train derailed that night. Derailed. Police cars, woo, 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 flashing. Firemen, woo, woo, woo,
flashing. But that's not even the worst part. The worst part was that these guys were drawn to the excitement, these guys, and then they noticed there was a room full of girls. They looked through the window and saw this room full of girls, and they're all looking in at the girls. It creeped the girls out, freaked them out. They all start screaming. You know, you can imagine what 50 girls are like, you know? The herd comes screaming. They went through the door where I was sleeping over me, screaming over me, and ran in and all. It was just pandemonium. It took hours. It took hours to get everybody back to sleep finally. And he goes, it took me hours to get them to sleep. I hardly get any sleep. Some youth pastor you are. It took a while, but I finally convinced them. I'm telling you, I didn't hear a thing, because that's nothing compared to your snoring. Yeah, I told them. I was in a deep sleep. I was in a deep sleep, just like most churches and Christians are today. They're clueless. I talk to people, pastors, churches. Oh, I never preach about that. I talk to people from other churches. Clueless. They will never know. The 90% of the Christians in America will never, if they're really Christians even, they will never know what hit them. Because the pastors have been unfaithful in the pulpit. I talk to these pastors. Oh, I just don't want to preach Daniel Revelation, because I'm going to upset some people. I don't want to lose anybody. I'm like, yeah, they're going to lose them eternally. Are you kidding me? I remember when I preached 2014, I preached through Daniel and Revelation, actually 2014, 15, 16 probably. But I remember when I did it the first time, and we lost some folks. They got upset with me. They were like, why do we always got to talk about these negative things and blah, blah. I go, because you have to be ready. But I can think of the families, the couples, the people that left, and they went right from here to other churches. They're now in woke churches, but they're not awake. They're not awake. They have no clue what is going to come, because they didn't want to hear Daniel Revelation. They didn't want to hear prophecy. Prophecy is one third of the Bible. Every third sermon I preach should be prophecy, right? That's what prophecy is. And others stayed, but thought I was crazy. But a lot of you here. Now you see, you're getting it. It's happening, right? Listen, I've done my job. I will stand before Jesus someday, and without shame, at least in this area, you know, I will without shame, because I did my job. But you need to do your job. You need to do your job. Daniel Revelation, I preached through it during the pandemic. I preached through it, and it's all online now. And you need to listen. If you've already listened to it again, you have to do your job, and also learn to connect the dots. In fact, we have a group every second and fourth Sunday night. I do a connect the dots group, and a lot of people come to it, but also a lot of people zoom in because we connect the dots. There's lots of good home fellowships. Go to them. But if you really want to know what's going on, every other week we connect the dots to what is happening in the world today. And you can zoom and just let me know. I'll send you the Zoom link. But we have to know, because the whole point of this group, the whole point of everything I'm saying, is 1 Thessalonians 5:1-4, where it says, now brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, because you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So, first of all, we can't name the date. When Jesus comes again, it's going to be like a thief in the night. It's going to shock people, right? We don't know the date. If you ever hear somebody name the date, don't ever listen to them again. If I ever get up here and say, Jesus is coming again on June 20th, my birthday, coming on June 20th, in case anybody wants to save up for a present. But anyway, coming on June 20th, if I say that, you have my permission to stand up and walk out the door, because that is, we should never do that, okay? But, look at what it says here, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You catch that? We don't know the date, but it shouldn't surprise. We shouldn't be surprised when, you know, the rapture happens or Jesus comes back again. You know, we should not be surprised, because we've been following the prophetic events closely. We've been keeping our eyes open, reading the Jerusalem Post, reading the, you know, following what's going on in the news, connecting the dots. We've been doing that, so we're not surprised. It's going to hit most Christians like a bus. They're clueless, but it shouldn't hit us, because we should all be discerning and figuring it out. Very, very important. We have to pay up, hug up, wake up, and finally, here we go, dress up. Dress up. This was easy also. Verse 12, dressing up. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. That's actually verse. Okay, yeah. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Of the flesh. The night is almost over. Back to verse 12. The night is almost over. It literally means far advanced. It's far advanced. The day is almost here. What is the day? The day of the Lord. Thank you. The day of the Lord. Yes, it's dark right now. It's dark, but the day is almost here. It's dark right now. It's just like the eclipse last week. Okay? Remember when the eclipse came? It was really dark. My parents sent me, my brother sent me pictures of where my parents live. They sent me videos. It was really dark there because it was like the total eclipse, right? But it was really dark. It was crazy. But just like the eclipse, it's really dark right now. And most are blinded. It's really dark spiritually, and most people are blinded. Just like, remember, you wore those glasses. That was so weird. You put those glasses on, and you couldn't see a thing unless you looked up right at the sun and the moon, and then you could see that ring, right? I hope you all wore the glasses. But anyway, most people are like that every day spiritually, blinded spiritually. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The God of this age has blinded the non-believers, completely blind. They're in the dark. Chuck Colson years ago, he's passed away, he's in heaven now, but he warned years ago about the new dark ages, and how we're approaching midnight. If Chuck was there, and now he'd be like, whoa, we're really there. He talked about the barbarians at the gate, the people without any morals that are trying to tear down the foundations of our country. But just like the eclipse, that's where we're in. We're in spiritual dark ages, right? The world is coming. But just like the eclipse, it's going to get real bright real fast. Real bright real fast. Remember when the eclipse all of a sudden it was passed? And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what happened? It was dark, and then all of a sudden it's bright out again? That's what's going to happen spiritually. Matthew 24:27 talks about this, and I use the NASB version. Thank you, Todd. I know Todd likes that too. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man be. The flashing, the lightning, it's going to get real bright, real fast, and then everybody with their eclipse glasses, their spiritual blindness, those glasses, they're going to melt. They're going to melt. The lies, the deception is going to melt away. That's going to be too late. So we'd better wake up, we'd better clean up, and we better dress up. And this is what it talks about here in this passage. Romans 12:12-13, I'm going to read it again. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. I'm going to say 14. Okay, good. Paul talks about putting aside, I'm going to connect the dots here now. Paul talks about putting aside the deeds of darkness and putting on the armor of light. And he's using an example of the Roman soldiers. He knew Roman soldiers very well. He was chained to one most of his ministry, right? One, at least one. He was chained to them. He knew them very. He saw what they did. And what the Roman soldiers, who Paul knew very well, he uses them as an example. What they would do is, at night when they got off of duty, they would take off their armor and they would go party hard all night long. The Roman soldiers were famous for partying hard, all right? They go party hard all night long, and then in the morning they come back, put on their armor, chain themselves to Paul again, and guard him again. Hangover and all, they'd be sitting there next to Paul or standing next to Paul. That's what they would be doing. That's what he's talking about. And he's saying that we have to put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. He's talking about that. Many Christians do the same thing as those Roman soldiers would do. They live like, nobody here, but you might know someone like this. We live like Christians on Sunday, but the rest of the week we live like the world. Once again, nobody here. But let me ask you, what if I was with you all week? All week long, Pastor Chuck was sitting next to you in the car. He was, wherever you went, would you still do the same things you're doing? Would you still watch the same things? Would you still, watch those same shows? Would you still use the same language? Would you still do that? Well, let me fill you in on something. Guess what? Jesus is with us all the time. Forget Pastor Chuck. Jesus is with us all the time. He's every second of every day. He's there. And that's what he's talking about, putting aside those deeds. That's why we're commanded to put on and keep on the armor of light, the armor of God. What armor is he talking about? You better not be asking that question. Ephesians 6, you all better have this memorized by now. Ephesians 6:10-18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Just like we sang earlier, right? Awesome. Stand firm then. I better use this version because I might have a different one memorized. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness, keep going, with your feet fitted with the ready, I had it, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. We are commanded to put on the armor of light, and talking about the armor, the belt of truth, that everything that we think about or listen to has to go through God's word. If we don't do that, we're going to end up off base. We're going to end up woke, right? Not awake, woke. That's not following God's word. We have to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate guards the vital internal organs against temptation and against sin. We have to put on the shoes of the gospel. Most Christians never witness, but it's vital that we have those shoes on. The evangelism seminar with Chuck, and we're going to show the video in just a minute, all right? The shield of faith, Satan's arrows hit it, and the shield of faith, the Roman soldiers had this shield that was leather, and it was doused in this flame-resistant liquid, and when the flames hit it, it would put the fire out. It would put the fire out, and that's what the shield of faith is supposed to do. Instead of those arrows hitting us and burning into us and creating or destroying our faith, we have the shield of faith up. The helmet of salvation has to be on our head. We all get hit with doubts. Anybody ever get hit with doubts? Since this morning, probably, doubts. That's what the helmet of salvation. No, I am a Christian. I am a Christian. The gospel is true, and it bounces off our helmets, right? The sword of the Spirit. I almost brought my sword, but I didn't. But anyway, I should have. I thought about it, but I had the cicadas to carry. All right, so yeah. But The sword of the Spirit, we have to memorize God's word. We have to be able to use God's word to defeat the lies, to defeat the attacks, constantly attacked. Someone in our church, and God bless her, she said, "Pastor Chuck, I need help. I have some friends who are into evolution now. They thought they were Christians, and they're not anymore." Woke, all right? Broke. And so she goes, "I need help." So I gave her some resources showing how the Bible stands against evolution, and how even evolution is terrible science. I mean, it's just beyond comprehension, right? We're not going to go there. But I gave her the resources. She's like, "I got it. I'm ready to fight." What did she do? She took the sword of the Spirit. She's ready to fight, and she's going to use it to witness to those people. God bless her. And so that's the sword of the Spirit. And then finally is prayer. Prayer is our source, our power source. It energizes our armor. It's like anybody here ever played laser tag with kids, you know, you're playing laser tag, you're running through the dark, you're shooting, and all of a sudden your power is starting to drain, and then you have to get recharged, and as soon as you do that, you actually have sometimes you have this armor that lights up, and as soon as you get recharged, you shoot enough other people, it starts to charge up again, and that's what prayer is, that it energizes our armor. That's what it does. Very, very important. And then the most important part of the armor, and I saved this for last, hope you memorize this one, Romans 13:14. "Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ." The most important armor is that we clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the force field. Think of Star Trek. Anybody ever see Star Trek? I know you have. All right, so anyway, I've seen them all. Anyway, Bob and I've seen them all. Anyway, the Star Trek had this ship, the Enterprise, it had all this armor on it. It was really tough. But when they really had to fight a dangerous enemy, like the enemy, like the Klingons or something, they come and they had to then use their force field, because the armor was great, but the most vital part of their defense was the force field. That's what didn't let the really bad, you know, bombs come through and hit the ship. That was the biggest protection, was the force field. And that is Jesus for us. We put on the armor, but the most vital force field that we can put on is Jesus Christ. We clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ. How do we clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ? Well, if you put your faith in Jesus, if there's been a time in your life where you said, "God, I repent of my sin. I put my faith in Jesus, his death and resurrection to pay for my sin and give me a new life. I put my faith in him. I give my life to you." The moment you did that, you clothed yourself with Jesus Christ. We put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're positionally righteous at salvation. That's your position in Christ. But in addition to that, we're called to practically put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ every day. We have to practically put that on. It's our position, but we got to practically put it on every day. We have to practice putting it on every day. And we do that by do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful flesh. Ephesians 4:22, Paul also says this. Here we go. "You are taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." That's it. Putting on Jesus Christ, taking off the sin and putting on Jesus Christ. What are we wearing today? What are we wearing? Are we ready for Jesus Christ? How is God speaking to us? How do we need to pay up, hug up, wake up, or dress up? Memorize Romans 13:14. Oh boy, I've had this memorized for many years. "Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." You know, that's our choice every day. Every second, every minute, every time we get hit with something, am I going to clothe myself with Jesus? Am I going to hit the force field? Or am I going to think about it and let those arrows, flaming arrows, come in and burn me? What am I going to do every minute,
Every second we have to be ready to do that. And can you put on Jesus Christ? You can't put on Jesus Christ until you put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the first step. Positional salvation. Positional righteousness. The first step is putting your faith in Jesus. Have you done that? John 3:16 talks about this very thing where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." You've heard that before. Have you put your faith in Jesus, given your life to him? That's what you must do before you can put on Jesus. You have to put your faith in him. And are we sharing this great news? I want to just kind of end before we do prayer. I want to end with this couple-minute video from the evangelism seminar that's coming up. How many went last year? We had a lot of people go last year. Hope you can go again this year, and hope more people can go. Really good on equipping us. I'm going to let it say what it wants. But Chuck Harrison, stand up, give a wave. Chuck is the guy to talk to. If you don't go, you're going to be accountable to Chuck. You don't want to be that. He will track you down. All right? But even if you can just come for an hour, it's really, really good. But I'll show the video, and then I'll end in prayer, okay? So.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kevin Thompson from Calvary Chapel, Mercer County. If you're a believer in Jesus, then you know that Jesus died for you, and you turned and trusted in Christ alone for salvation. You've experienced and been changed by the power of the gospel. This message was first shared with you, but do you feel confident in sharing the good news of Jesus with others? I'm convinced that many Christians know and believe in Jesus, but struggle to share the gospel with others for various reasons. Knowing that this is a common struggle among believers, we're excited to announce that Calvary Chapel Mercer County in Ewing, New Jersey will be hosting a regional evangelism training on April 27th. There'll be multiple churches and organizations from the area coming together to be taught, encouraged, and emboldened as we participate in the mission of God in bringing the good news of Jesus to every person in this world. We will be focusing on topics such as how to articulate the gospel, common questions people ask, strategies to start conversations, and more. Some of you may be checked out when you hear the word evangelism, saying such things as, "That's not for me," or "That's my pastor's role." However, this training is for every Christian because we are all called to share with others about Jesus, even if it is over a cup of coffee with friends and family or conversations with coworkers. With trainings in the past, we've seen people encouraged and having gospel conversations almost immediately. We want that to be you. What would it look like if you and everyone in your church were not filled with fear or doubt about what to say, but rather emboldened to share the simple and powerful good news of Jesus? I really believe we would see revival in this region and many worshiping Jesus. So we have the privilege to invite you to the 2024 Regional Evangelism Training on April 27th at Calvary Chapel, Mercer County in Ewing, New Jersey. It'll be from 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. with lunch provided. Sign up is at ccmercer.com/RET24, and we look forward to seeing you there.
Hi. All right, great. Once again, the information's in the bulletin, and Chuck Harrison's always here, so let's pray. How is God speaking to us? How is His Holy Spirit moving in our heart through this passage? Are we witnessing? Are we sharing our faith? Are we ready? Or is God showing us something in our life that we need to wake up, dress up, be prepared in some way? I encourage people, listen to the sermon again and again if you need to really digest it some more. How is God speaking to us? And as you've heard the word today, have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you ready for Jesus to come again because you've put your faith in him? If you haven't done that, you can do that right now. Wherever you are, sitting here in your car, wherever you are, the Holy Spirit is drawing you. You can put your faith in Jesus right now.
now. It happens in our heart. But I always encourage people to pray a prayer of faith, a biblical prayer of faith, just to put an exclamation point on it, to make sure. Just to pray, say, God, I repent. I turn away from my old life, my old self, sinful self. I don't want this garbage anymore. I don't want the sin. I don't want the shame. I don't want the damage anymore. I want to put my faith in Jesus. I ask you to forgive me because I'm putting my faith in Jesus, his death on the cross to pay for my sin. His resurrection from the dead to give me a new life. I put my faith in Jesus. I give my life to you, God. If you have prayed that prayer of faith, you have just been given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You now have a whole new position before God. You're his child. You have been saved. You have received salvation, saved from sin, from death, from hell, from Satan's grasp. You have been saved. And oh, you're going to experience amazing things with your salvation. I want to encourage you to talk to someone. Tell somebody today. If you're here, tell a family member or a friend, or tell me on the way out, or fill out the card, or email me, text me. It's all in the bulletin. Or if you're out there somewhere, tell somebody. Someone who's witnessed to you or prayed for you or shared Jesus with you. And if you need someone to tell, send me an email. nhcc@comcast.net, so we can be excited for you and help you grow in your new life in Christ. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would wake us up, prepare us for the most amazing event in human history. Well, it's a close tie, the first coming or the second coming, but the next amazing event is Jesus coming again. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.